Hi, Larry Gassman here, and it's December 2nd. So I thought we would find shows that didn't have a lot to do with Christmas, but certainly the Christmas season had begun. So it's early December on both shows that you'll hear this evening. You'll hear Fibber McGee and Molly and The Great Gildersleeve. This one has to do with Fibber McGee and Molly and Christmas cards. Remember, it's early December, so we go back to December 2nd, 1949, and Fibber McGee and Molly.
The Johnson's Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly. The makers of Johnson's Wax and Johnson's new water-repellent glow coat present Fibber McGee and Molly with Bill Thompson, Gail Gordon, Arthur Q. Bryan, Dick LeGrand, and me, Harlow Wilcox. The script is by Don Quinn and Phil Leslie. Music by the Kingsmen and Billy Mills Orchestra. Tonight, I'd like to make one thing clear to everybody. There is only one glow coat. It's the water-repellent new glow coat that's on your dealer's shelves right now. There's been no change in the familiar glow coat container, but wait till you find out about the wonderful change inside. For it is a wonderful thing to be able to cover your floors with a self-polishing floor wax that is positively water-repellent. Now, the big thing from your standpoint is that it'll last so much longer without losing its smooth, lustrous shine. Water that's dripped or spilled on it can be wiped right off without leaving an ugly streak or spot. You can damp mop glow coat protected floors over and over without killing the protection or the shine. You get more for your money now in Johnson's glow coat than ever before. More beauty, more protection, more freedom from floor care drudgery. Guaranteed the most economical self-polishing wax you can buy. Its protective shine lasts up to 4 times longer. Get water repellent new glow coat tomorrow. In 1649, a Dutchman named Rembrandt took some oils, some brushes, some canvas, and some talent, and turned out a lot of masterpieces. In 1949, a fellow in Wistful Vista got out the card table, loaded it down with art materials, and started to make his own Christmas cards. The sound of the gong was so we could avoid mentioning the two artists in the same breath. Because one of them is Mr. McGee, of Fibber McGee and Molly.
Well, oh boy, I sure wish I'd have thought of this before, Molly. Look at the money I'd have saved if I'd have made my own Christmas cards every year. How's this look, kiddo? My first one.
Let me see. Very interesting.
Isn't it, though?
Too bad you had to spill that big blob of red paint all over it.
What do you mean, big blob of red paint? That's Santa Claus.
It's his? Where's his beard?
That's the whole idea of the card. He ain't got any beard.
Santa Claus with no beard?
Why, certainly. He's just coming out of the barbershop. The verse is going to say, St. Nicholas had his beard cut off as up on the roof his reindeers trample. Because how can a guy with whiskers on show little shavers a good example?
Oh, McGee, that's cute.
Oh, shucks. I got a million ideas as good as that. Or better.
Well, I should hope so.
Huh?
Among your many good ideas, have you got one about how to get that India ink out of the rug?
Oh, I'll clean up here when I get through. I ain't quite used to handling all this stuff, but I'll learn, Tootsie. I'll learn. My gosh, I'll bet Somerset Maugham didn't learn to paint overnight either.
Somerset Maugham is a novelist, dearie, not a painter.
Oh, he gave it up, huh? Couldn't stand the gaff, eh? Well, believe me, I'm staying right with it. I got tenacity. I got grit. I got perseverance.
You have something else, too.
I have?
Yes, you have a jar of blue paint dripping into your lap.
Huh? Oh, my gosh. I must have tripped it over with my elbow.
Yes.
There. Shucks. That was my only jar of blue paint. I'll have to paint the rest of the reindeer with brown eyes.
You've been painting reindeer with blue eyes?
Why not?
A good question. For all I know, reindeer might... Come in. Oh, it is out on the mayor, McGee. Come in, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Molly. Hello, McGee.
Hi, Latrev.
Well, you must be having a circus with those watercolors. You certainly look like a clown.
If you're referring to the pigment so plentifully permeating my pretty puss, Politico, it is purely a product of my poster paints and my peculiar pictorial proclivities.
Are you through, dearie, or shall I open up another can of peas?
I'm through. No kidding, Latriv. This artwork is a great little hobby. It gets your mind off of things.
Oh, I didn't know you ever had yours on anything. But I agree that a hobby is a fine thing. My secretary collects stamps.
Has she a valuable collection, Mr. Mayor?
She must have. I buy about $50 worth a week, and I can never find one around the office. I think she must be papering a bedroom with them. If she doesn't like the result, she can always mail the house to some relative.
I come by my artistic talent kind of natural, Latriv. It's hereditary. My Uncle Sycamore was an artist.
Uncle Sycamore?
Oh, yes.
You had an interesting family tree.
Oh, yes.
A squirrel's idea of heaven, I imagine.
I didn't know your Uncle Sycamore was an artist, McGee. Portrait or landscape?
Mail pouch tobacco. Painted it on barns, fences, and silos. You got any hobbies, Latriv?
Yes. She sells.
You mean seashells, don't you, Your Honor?
No.
No?
No. My housekeeper is always selling raffle tickets for something, and I have to buy whatever she sells.
Be kind of interesting sometime if she sells tickets on some seashells.
Well, anytime she sells seashells, she'll sell the seashells to somebody else. Because if she sees that she can sell me seashells, she'll sell the...
What's the matter, Your Honor?
I'll have to change the subject. My bridge work is coming loose. Anyway, I have to be going. I can find my way out, Molly. Don't trouble to...
No, no, Mr. Mayor, not that.
No, no,
that's
the hall.
Molly Mills in the orchestra, and she wore a yellow ribbon.
Christmas card's going to take, McGee.
Hmm?
The way the paint is thrown around in here, it looks like Sherwin had a fight with Williams.
My dear girl, a true artist is not concerned with such trivial things. When one is creating, one thinks only of putting one's best work into one's work. You seen the pot of glue?
Yes, you're putting your best elbow in it.
Oh, yeah. I felt that a while ago, but I thought it was just the red paint. Hey, look at this card I just designed for Mort Toops. Not only wishes him a Merry Christmas, but carries a thoughtful little message, too.
Something sentimental, I suppose, like go boil your head.
Here it is, picture of a fish. You see, fish is swimming through a sprig of mistletoe.
A fish and mistletoe?
Yeah. The verse says, I hope the fish I hereby show recalls the fin I loaned you last July. And though he swims through mistletoe, I ain't gonna kiss that fin goodbye. Merry Christmas. You like it?
Well, $5 is always a nice touch if you can't get 10. But that's what I say. Hey, come in.
Oh, it's Ole from the Elks Club. Come in, boy.
Well, hello, Mrs. Hello, McGee. What's the mess, Mrs.?
Well, himself here is making his own Christmas cards, heaven help me.
Yep, personalized handmade Christmas cards, Ole. None of that run-of-the-mill stuff for me this year. I painted every one of these babies with my own hands.
Well, maybe they wouldn't look so messy if you paint them with a brush, McGee.
Well, he did use a brush, Ole. He means that...
Hey, I might not do so bad with just my bare hands at that, Ole. You've heard of finger painting, haven't you?
Oh, sure. My daughter, Christina, she makes good money with finger painting.
Yeah, what does she paint?
Well, what would a finger painter paint, McGee? Feet? She paints fingers, of course. She's... She's a lady curist.
You mean a manicurist, Ole?
Me and the missus, we don't like Christina holding hands with the men. She used paints fingers on ladies.
Have you done any of your Christmas shopping yet, Ole? Say, what are you going to give your wife this year?
Well, my missus is always a problem. Every year for Christmas, she wants something sensible. But I want to give her foolishness.
And you're right, boy, you're right. That's what Christmas is for.
Sure. But this year, though, she changes.
Yeah?
This time, she wants foolishness, too.
Oh?
And such foolishness.
Oh? What does she want, Ole? A diamond necklace or a mink?
No, she drops hints by the kids so that they say, this year, Mama wants for Christmas a dyed rabbit.
Well, now a dyed rabbit is very nice, I think.
Yeah.
So, I make a deal with the pet shop. The first rabbit that dies, I give it to my mink.
Ole. It's a good thing I keep on talking while I'm working, or working while I'm talking, or I'd never get finished. I got some beautiful cards here, Molly. They weren't so messy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you take this one for the mayor, for instance. Kind of a symbolic card, see? You get it? The picture of the pork barrel with a hand in it?
Lovely. That's about as subtle as a blackjack.
I didn't realize I was so loaded with ideas, so productive, so specific.
Not specific, dearie. You mean prolific.
Oh, I do, eh? I'm afraid you're thinking of that stale movie at the Bijou, my dear. The one that the ad claims it's colossal, it's stupendous, it's prolific.
That's terrific, McGee.
Thanks. I think it's a nice card myself. It's got that certain something that you can't...
Hello, Molly. I come in? Hi, pal.
Hello, Mr. Wilcox. Welcome to the McGee Greeting Card and House Wrecking Company.
Pull up a chair, Junior, if you can find one without any paint on it. And watch a Julius at work.
Thank you, pal. I'll stand. Hey, this is very interesting stuff to me, kid. I used to work in a greeting card place, you know.
I didn't know that, Mr. Wilcox.
Sure, I designed Christmas cards. Modernistic stuff.
You mean modernistic stuff like a picture of a fried egg draped over a half moon under a watch with a woman's face with roller skates for ears? And it says, onions are for love? You mean that stuff?
Yes, yes. I was kind of a dilly-dally.
Oh.
Matter of fact, I designed a beautiful card for myself this morning, kid.
Really, Mr. Wilcox?
Sure, I just splashed the card with a lot of colors, you see. Then I drew a picture of Santa Claus carrying an umbrella and a rubber band. Looks terrific.
That's supposed to mean something?
Why, certainly, pal. Look, take the colors on the card, you see? They simply stand for the colors the Johnson self-polishing glow coat restores to your worn and faded linoleum.
Oh, of all the dirty waste of stink.
Then the umbrella. The umbrella. That means the new glow coat is water repellent.
Yes, sir. This great new discovery, Johnson's new self-polishing water-repellent glow coat, is the one floor wax at last that does not smear and show drab, dull spots when you wipe up spilled things with a damp cloth or mop it with a damp mop.
Yes, and you have no idea what that means to a housewife like myself, Mr. Wilcox.
The heck he don't. He's...
Now, you hush, McGee. You know, I don't have to wax my floors nearly as often with the new glow coat since it's water repellent.
That's right, Molly, because when you mop up dirt and spill things, you don't mop up the wax. It stays on and it stays bright even after repeated moppings. That's why I drew the rubber band on my cart, because your work is a snap when you use the new water repellent glow coat. And hey, pal, the Santa Claus is me. The way I look to a housewife when she learns how much work she saves with Johnson's new water repellent glow coat because it lasts so much longer.
Hey, look, Waxy.
Yes, pal.
How long did you work in that Christmas card place?
About an hour and a half, pal.
Huh?
The fellow who owned the place made a crack about my drawings that I didn't like, so I left.
Oh, independent, eh? What'd he say to you?
Wilcox, he said, you're fired. So I left. Like this, kid.
Sensitive kid.
Look, sweetheart, why don't you give up designing Christmas cards, too? If Mr. Wilcox could do it, you can do it. Just say to yourself, I can give it up. I will give it up. What are you doing with the yardstick?
Trying to draw a picture of the Shah of Persia. With no curves, just angles, you know. It's just an experiment.
But why no curves?
Well, I know I can't draw a straight line with a ruler, so I wanted to see if I could draw a ruler with a straight line. You see, my dear, when an artist... Hold it, kiddo, hold it. Come in.
Oh, McGee, it's Dr. Gamble. Hello, doctor.
Hi, tonsil burglar.
Hello, Molly. Good day to you, smear face. What are you doing, dyeing Easter eggs?
He's painting his own Christmas cards this year, doctor. This year? Seems like this has been going on for 300 years.
Pull up your stomach and sit down, microbe merchant. You're looking at Wistful Vista's answer to Courier and Hives.
Well, I couldn't think of a nastier answer.
Thank you, doctor, thank you.
All right.
Praise from you is praise indeed.
Well, I must have missed a line someplace. But give the boy credit for effort, doctor. You'll have to admit he's trying.
Admit it? I accuse him of it. He's very trying.
Oh, my gosh, you guys got to have a hobby, hasn't he? What's your hobby?
Needlework. Roll up your sleeve and I'll show you.
Oh, no. Nothing doing. You get under my skin without any extra equipment. What are you staring at my vest for?
Just noticing how full it is, stuffy. Can't button the bottom button anymore, can you?
Well, gee whiz, I get hungry. I exercise a lot, Doc. A guy that exercises...
Yes, he does, Doctor. He exercises harder with a knife and fork than anybody I know.
Well, looking at you, Goonesboro, and your little round hand-painted tummy has inspired me to a little Christmas poem myself.
Yeah?
Maybe you can use it on one of your cards.
Gee, you made one up just sitting here?
Uh-huh.
Let's hear it, Doctor.
Oh, yes, let's.
All right. Christmas is a time of cheer, to think of the colorful friends we've got. Like little Bucklebuster here. He is the rainbow at the end of the pot. So long, Molly.
The King's Men and Little Teeny tell the story of Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
This is the story of a reindeer. A super extraordinary reindeer. He wasn't what a reindeer ought to be, for he had one peculiarity. Go on, Teeny, you tell him.
Okay, fellas, I'll tell him. Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer had a very shiny nose. And if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows. All of the other reindeer used to laugh and call him names. They never let poor Rudolph join in any reindeer games. On one foggy Christmas Eve, Santa Claus lost his way. Then he cried,
without a light, old Saint Nick can't ride tonight.
Just then along came Rudolph,
galloping, galloping, galloping through the stormy night,
lighting the way before him with his little nose so bright.
Santa Claus shouted,
Rudolph,
please guide us on our way. And the reindeer shouted,
Rudy,
come along, we'll let you play. So Dasher and Dancer and Prancer and Vixen and Comet and Cupid and Donner and Blitzen away.
Here am I, Rudolph.
Tote that sleigh. Hey, 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 Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer.
Brighter than a neon sign.
There used to be 8 reindeer.
Now there always will be 9.
Don't you worry if you should see stormy weather on Christmas Eve. Santa will find his way to you.
Cause Rudy's equipped with radar, too.
Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer. Twinkle, twinkle on your way. Everybody loves that reindeer. Cause Rudolph saves the day.
For little children.
Yes, Rudolph the red-nosed reindeer's here to stay.
Certainly making a shambles of this living room. Mm. Paint and ink all over everything. Why don't you give it up?
My dear, did Da Vinci give up? Did Piscasio give up? Did Somerset Maugham give up?
I told you before, Somerset Maugham is not an artist. He's an author.
He's an author. I'm an author and an artist. Who wrote that wonderful little Christmas verse? 'Twas the night before Christmas and all through the house we could smell Uncle Dennis. He was such an old souse. Who wrote that? I did, 5 years ago. That was the night Uncle Dennis came home.
Now.
Look at this card I designed.
Mm-hmm.
See it?
But you drew the figure too large. The hands and the feet are clear off the page.
I know it. I done that on purpose. This one is for old McDonald at the Third National Bank.
But why did you make the picture so out of proportion?
I wanted him to see how it feels to be overdrawn.
Now, dearie, look. How many cards have you finished?
Well, as soon as I finish this one and 2 more, I'll have 3. It's kind of discouraging at that, but it's going smoother now. I'm getting the knack of it.
Oh, McGee, watch it. There goes the ink. Oh, do something, sweetheart. Huh? Don't just sit there and watch it pour out onto the floor.
It ain't going onto the floor. It's running down my pants into my shoe. All I got to do is sit here till it dries, and then I can get up and walk.
Oh, dear. Come in.
Hello there, Donner. Hello, Johnny.
Oh, hi, old-timer.
What are you making the Christmas cards for? Christmas?
Well, the way I'm laying eggs with them, I think I'll use them for Easter.
Where's your girlfriend, Bessie, Mr. Old-timer? Isn't she with you?
Yeah.
No, daughter. Bessie's working down at the carnival. Me and her had a little falling out.
Had a fight, eh?
Nope. Falling out.
Oh?
Out of the top seat of the Ferris wheel.
Heavenly days. Was Bessie badly hurt?
No, she was delighted, daughter. She fell with her face in the cotton candy, and they gave her a job as a bearded lady. Bessie's a sweet kid. Now, anyway.
Well, you can have a lot of fun in the carnival. I mind one time I was throwing darts at some balloons, and a fat lady walked past.
Yes, they sure are fun. Bessie and me went to the Hall of Mirrors.
Oh, that Hall of Mirrors. What those things can do to your shape.
You said it, daughter. Bessie never looked better.
I never quite understood, old-timer. Is Bessie a daughter of the old South or just an old daughter of the South?
Now, McGee. Say, where did you ever meet her anyway, Mr. Old-timer?
Well, daughter, I was judge in a beauty contest down in Possum Choke, Alabama, and Bessie won it hands down.
Hands down, eh?
She was scared to raise them. The elastic in her bathing suit bloomers was busted.
Well, what was the contest?
Oh, a bunch of planters was voting on the sugar they'd most like to raise Cain with. They named her Miss Blackstrap of 1914. Incidentally, Johnny, that there painting of yours reminds me. Bessie's papa was a painter.
He was?
Good one, too. I remember one painting he'd done of the whole family standing around a vat full of moonshine.
Sounds very effective. What did he call it?
still life. Well, we gotta get down to the carnival to see Bessie, kid. So long.
So long.
Look, dearie.
Huh?
Let's call this whole Christmas card thing off, shall we? You're ruining your clothes and the living room is a sight.
Yeah, I know, kiddo, I know. I've been kind of clumsy at it, but I'm getting the knack of it now. What's that noise?
Sounds like something. Heavenly days, grab the glue, McGee. It's running off the table.
Oh, my God. I got it. Oh, what a mess. And look, it went all over all the cards I had done. Dead rat, the dead rat. They're all ruined.
Oh, too bad. Dear, oh, dear. Come in.
Hi, mister. Hi, Miss McGee.
Hello, sis. Run along, will you? I'm in enough trouble.
Well, now, don't take it out on Teeny, McGee.
I ain't taking it out on Teeny just because I make an unholy mess out of trying to make my own Christmas cards.
See, I guess if you make your own Christmas cards, you don't want to see these then, mister. So I'll just...
Hey, wait a minute. What was that you said?
Who?
You.
When?
Just now.
About what?
About I don't want to see those.
That's what I thought. These are just some 10-cent cards that I was trying to sell so I could make some money for Christmas, but, well, if you make your own, I guess I...
You got Christmas cards for sale? Come here, kid. I want to kiss you.
Oh? You want to buy, mister? How many,
How many you got, sis?
About 30, I betcha.
About 30, huh? I'll buy all of them.
Oh, I'll kiss you.
All right, sis. There. Now give me the cards and I'll give you the dough. Boy, are these beautiful. Look at them, Molly.
Lovely.
So colorful.
Mm-hmm.
Such clever verses.
Yeah.
How can them commercial companies turn out such beautiful stuff so cheap? Here, sis, here's $3. And thank you ever so much. What's the matter?
Well, nothing, mister, only I guess I better tell you.
Huh?
The reason they're so cheap is they've been used. Yeah, and the ones that have got writing on them, you'll have to erase.
Hmm.
If you need any more, let me know. Our attic is just full of them. So long, mister.
Hey, Molly, hand me what's left of the glue.
What are you going to do with it?
Drink it. I've been stuck every other way. I might as well go the whole hog.
Bibber and Molly return in a moment. Let me remind you again, there is now a self-polishing floor wax that is positively water-repellent. It's Johnson's new Glow Coat. That means long-wearing protection for your floors. Freedom from ugly spots or drab streaks caused by water. Spilled things, muddy footprints, melted snow whisk right off that hard Glow Coat surface. Glow Coat stays on, stays bright, even after repeated damp moppings. And this wonderful new water-repellent quality means that Glow Coat's protective shine lasts up to 4 times longer. That's why Glow Coat is guaranteed to be the most economical self-polishing wax you can buy. So tomorrow, get the smooth-spreading, self-shining floor wax that's positively water-repellent. No change in the Glow Coat package, remember, but what a wonderful difference inside. Ask for the new water-repellent Glow Coat tomorrow.
Well, McGee, what are you going to do for Christmas cards next year? Make your own again?
Well, I ain't the type of guy that gives up easy, Tootsie. I'm strictly the type of guy that he makes up his mind to do something and I do it.
So
about December 1st next year, I'm going to the art store, buy a lot of paint and cardboard and brushes.
Oh, no, not that.
And paint a big sign for the front door. Welcome, Christmas card salesman.
Oh.
Yeah.
Good night. Good night, all.
The makers of Johnson's Wax and Johnson's new Water Repellent Glow Coat, Racine, Wisconsin, and Brantford, Canada, bring you Fibber, McGee, and Molly each week at this time. Be with us again next Tuesday night, won't you?
Here's a time-saving way to keep your furniture sparkling clean and shining bright with almost no effort. Tomorrow, start using Johnson's Cream Wax, the fastest wax furniture polish money can buy. Johnson's Cream Wax cleans so quickly, dries so quickly, polishes so quickly, that using it is almost as easy as dusting. A few strokes of a cloth do the cleaning. A few more polish your furniture to a satiny smoothness. And this wax contains no sticky oils to catch dust. Tomorrow, start using the fastest wax furniture polish money can buy. Get Johnson's Cream Wax at your dealers. Stay tuned for Big Town, coming to you next on NBC.
December 2nd, 1949, Fibber McGee and Molly. We'll go back to 1949 again and up about 5 days. In this episode, it has to do a little with Christmas, but Marjorie is still going through boyfriends. She hasn't actually begun dating Bronco yet. In fact, in this episode, Bronco bows out for Marshall. That's the title of the episode. So Marshall Bullard was still there as Marjorie's number one boyfriend. As we go back to the great Gildersleeve, Hal Perry as Gildersleeve, and Mary Lee Robb as Marjorie, Dick Crenna is Bronco. We'll go back to December 7, 1949 in the great Gildersleeve.
The Kraft Foods Company, makers of Kraft Quality Foods, presents Harold Perry as the Great Gildersleeve. The Great Gildersleeve is brought to you by the Kraft Foods Company, makers of the famous cheese food Velveeta. Everybody goes for Velveeta's rich yet mild cheddar cheese flavor in snacks, in sandwiches, and in hot dishes. And Velveeta, you know, helps supply important food values from milk and is as digestible as milk itself. That's why smart homemakers keep Velveeta on hand regularly to spread or slice and to melt for grand economical hot dishes. Tomorrow, get Velveeta, the cheese food of Kraft quality. Well, for a long time now, the great Gildersleeve's doorbell has been ringing every evening at the same time. And Marjorie rushes to the door with the same eager anticipation to greet the same young man.
Hiya, Marge.
And this gets the same reaction from the great Gildersleeve.
Good evening, Mr. Gildersleeve. Hi, Leroy.
Hello, Bronco.
Hi.
I brought the records, Marge.
Oh, wonderful.
Well, come on, Leroy. Let's you and I go into the dining room.
Gosh, why do we have to leave the room every time Bronco comes over?
Leroy?
Oh, you don't have to leave, Mr. Gildersleeve. We're just going to play some records.
Bronco got a new album, Romeo and Juliet. It's the opera.
Well, good.
I don't think you care for opera, do you, Unky?
No.
I do.
Leroy, you don't even know what it's about.
The heck I don't. It's about love.
Young man, come into the dining room.
Okay.
Close those doors. I want to have a little talk with you.
What did I do?
Leroy, why do I always have to drag you out of the parlor when Bronco comes to see Marjorie?
Gosh, why do they always want to be alone?
Well, you heard them. They want to play Romeo and Juliet.
Yeah. He's going to be Romeo and she'll be Juliet. That love stuff. Yeah.
Don't be silly, Leroy. Bronco and Marjorie are not in love.
Ha! You ought to see her diary.
Young man, have you been reading Marjorie's diary?
Well, she left it open on her desk. Dear diary, Bronco just left and my heart left with him.
Leroy, I don't want to know what's in it.
And you know how she signs off, Unc?
No, and I don't... How does she?
Good night, my one and only.
One and only. Well, all young girls write things like that in their diaries.
Excuse me, Miss Gildersleeve.
Oh, am I in your way, Bernie?
No, just want to get one of these plates. Miss Marjorie wants me to fix sandwiches again.
Well, fine.
I don't know why they want sandwiches. They never eat them.
They don't? I can't understand a big, hungry-looking fellow like Bronco not eating.
Well, that's love, Mr. Gildersleeve.
No, Bertie.
Oh, when people are in love, they don't eat. And them two don't eat, so they're in love.
Bertie, that doesn't mean a thing.
No, sir. And when Miss Margie don't see any other young man except Mr. Bronco, it don't mean a thing.
Well.
And when he rings that bell every night and she breaks her neck to get to the door, it don't mean a thing.
Bertie.
When every other word is Bronco this and Bronco that, you know what it means, Miss Gilsey?
Well, Bertie.
That's right, it don't mean a thing.
It might mean something at that. Good morning, Peavy.
Yeah, hello, Mr. Gildersleeve. What can I do for you this morning?
Give me a cup of coffee, Peavy.
Very well. Trying to wake up this morning, are you, Mr. Gildersleeve?
Well, I am a little sleepy. Peavy, how many nights a week should a young man call on his girlfriend?
Well, I'd say that's your business, as long as you don't neglect the water department.
What?
And don't fall asleep at the faucet.
Peavy, I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about Marjorie's boyfriend.
Oh.
Bronco Thompson. I've suddenly realized, Peavy, that Marjorie is going steady.
Don't say.
Yeah. And I don't think she should confine herself to one boyfriend.
Well, you may have something there. I know when I was a young man, I didn't confine myself to one girlfriend.
Yeah. Yeah, I'll bet you didn't.
No, sir. One Sunday afternoon, I'd sit in the parlor with one girl. And the next Sunday afternoon, I'd be sitting in the parlor with another girl. Perhaps way at the other end of town.
Oh? You're really living, eh, Peavy?
Yes, indeed. Come Sunday afternoon, you know what I had on my knee, Mr. Gildersleeve?
On your knee?
A banjo.
Oh, friend.
And whenever things started getting serious, I'd strike up a tune. My father always told me to beware of entanglements and play the field.
That's not a bad idea, Peavy. I think Marjorie should do the same thing. Scatter her dates around a little.
That's what I used to do. One Sunday afternoon, I'd sit in the parlor
with... You told me, Peavy.
I didn't tell you everything.
Yeah.
Oh, pardon me, Mr. Gildersleeve. That looks like young Marshall Bullard pulling up in his father's Cadillac.
Marshall Bullard? Say, he must be home from school for the holidays.
It seems so. He was in this morning, left an order. Let's see if I have everything for him here. Shaving lotion, pipe cleaners, nail buffer.
Nail buffer? That sounds like Marshall Bullard, all right. Gets more like his father every day. Junior stuff shirt.
I thought you rather liked young Marshall. He used to call on Marjorie, as I recall.
Well, he used to run back and forth across the street. What a pest. He hasn't had a date with Marjorie since he went to Harvard. And say, maybe that's an idea. Well, hello, Marshall. Welcome back to Summerfield.
Hello, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Back for the holidays?
Yes.
Does Marjorie know you're in town?
Well...
You'll have to drop across the street and see us. All of us. Soon. Tonight, maybe.
My.
Well, I'd like to, but I just got home, and of course I'd like to see Marjorie.
Good. I was just telling Peavy how much you and Marjorie used to see each other, and how our whole family has missed having you around. Wasn't I, Peavy?
Well, now I would...
Peavy? Yes, indeed. Welcome home, Marshall. Marjorie.
Yes, Unky?
Isn't it about time you powdered your little nose and prettied up a bit?
Bronco thinks I'm pretty.
Yes.
Besides, it isn't time for him to come over yet.
Well, one of your other beaus might drop over.
Unky, I don't have any other beau, and you know it.
You might have a secret admirer. Marshall Bullard's in town.
Marshall Bullard?
Uh-huh. I saw him today in Peavy's, and they said he might drop over tonight.
Uncle Mort, what have you been up to?
Marjorie, don't you get excited. He used to come over a lot before he went to Harvard.
But I have a date with Bronco.
Well, you and Bronco just sit around and listen to records. Why can't the three of you sit around and listen to records?
Honestly, Uncle Mort, I'm not going to the door for Marshall Bullard. You answer it.
All right, but you be nice to him, Marjorie. Well, come in, Marshall.
Marshall?
Oh, Bronco. Hey, come in. Did I say Marshall? Slip of the tongue.
Oh, hi, Marge.
Hello, Bronco.
I'm a little early. Did I surprise you?
I thought it was somebody else.
Somebody else? Who else would it be?
Well, you see, Bronco, Marjorie's a pretty popular girl, and... pardon me. I'm the doorman tonight. Well, come in, Marshall.
Thank you. Good evening, Mr. Gildersleeve. Yeah.
Who's this Marshall?
Well, Bronco, he's just home from Harvard. And
Harvard?
Marjorie, how nice to see you.
Hello, Marshall.
Here, let me look at you. Why, you're even prettier than when I left for school.
Oh, Marshall.
And can this be Leroy? Oh, my. My, how you've grown.
I'm not Leroy.
Marshall, this is Bronco Thompson.
Oh.
Bronco, this is Marshall Bullard.
Yes, Marshall lives across the street. He and Marjorie started, grew up together.
Oh, ho.
How do you do, Bronco?
Hello, Bullard.
Here, let me take your coat and gloves, Marshall.
Thank you, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Well, real pigskin.
Marjorie, I thought we might take a spin in the Cadillac tonight. It's a much sweeter job than the one we used to run around in.
Well, Marshall...
Oh, it seems like old times to be in this living room again. Oh, it was awfully nice of you folks to invite me over tonight.
Well, I guess I'd better be going.
So soon, Bronco?
Bronco, you're not leaving.
Well, I wasn't exactly invited over. I just dropped in, as usual.
No need to leave, Bronco.
Oh, of course not, old man. All three of us can take a drive in the cab.
No, thanks. I have things to do.
Oh, Bronco, please don't go.
I think I'd better... Good night, Marge.
Good night.
Well, perhaps you can come over tomorrow night, Bronco. You're welcome anytime, and so is Marshall.
Thanks, Mr. Gildersleeve. Good night.
Good night. Marjorie, come inside with me now. You left Marshall in the parlor.
Uncle Mort, look what you've done.
What?
Now Bronco's all upset.
He's not upset. Well, I guess he is a little upset.
Haven't seen him around for two nights in a row.
You might ask Uncle Mort about that, Leroy.
No, my dear.
Dear Diary, Bronco didn't call tonight, and am I blue?
Oh, stop it.
Marjorie, come away from the window.
She's watching for Bronco. This is the time he used to show up, in the good old days.
Yes. Come over and sit down by your old uncle, my dear.
I haven't the slightest desire to sit by you, Uncle Mort. I'll never forgive you for inviting Marshall Bullard over.
Marjorie, I was only doing what I thought was best for you. Besides, this should be good for Bronco. There's nothing like competition to fire up a suitor. And if I know Bronco...
Hey, Marge! That's Bronco's car.
Oh, it is? It is! It's Bronco!
Well, what'd I tell you, Marjorie? I knew he'd come back.
Oh, Unky, at last.
Yeah, I'll let him in, Marjorie.
No, I'll let him in.
Yeah, I'll do it.
Bronco.
Hi, Marge.
Well, Bronco, come in.
No thanks, Mr. Gildersleeve. I'll just stand here in the doorway and say what I have to say.
What?
Bronco, come on in. Don't be silly.
I'm not being silly, Marge. I've been thinking this out for 3 days. I don't think I should take up any more of your time.
Bronco, what are you talking about?
Marge, you'll be a lot better off going with Marshall Bullard than with me.
What?
Now, Bronco, there's no reason why both you and Marshall can't see Marjorie.
Thank you, Mr. Gildersleeve, but I'm bowing out. It's for Marjorie's own good. I've got it all figured out on paper.
On paper?
Yes, sir. I drew a line down the middle of the sheet, and I put Marshall's qualifications on one side and mine on the other.
Oh, Fred.
He's got money, a Harvard background, a big car, expensive clothes, and what did I have on my side of the paper? Blank.
Blank.
Bronco Thompson, you're being ridiculous.
Yeah, I guess I am ridiculous.
Oh, my goodness.
And when I found out you and Marshall were childhood sweethearts, well, I can't break up a beautiful thing like that. I'm no cad, Mr. Gildersleeve.
We know that, Bronco. We all think you're a fine boy.
Well, he'll be better for Marjorie.
What's going on out here?
Leroy, you stay out of this.
I'll say goodbye now.
Bronco!
Thanks for everything. But now, let's part with no regrets.
But, Bronco...
I'll just walk off into the fog.
Uncle Mort, I want to have a talk with you.
No, Marjorie.
There's no fog out there. What a character.
The great Gildersleeve will be back in just a minute. Remember the saying, a man may work from sun to sun, but a woman's work is never done. Well, you homemakers can remedy that situation when it comes to after-hours snack fixin'. Just keep your refrigerator stacked with a 2-pound loaf of Kraft's famous cheese food, Velveeta, for good-eating snacks that Dad and the youngsters can fix themselves. They can spread Velveeta on crispy crackers or slice it thick for hearty sandwiches that are good cold and extra special good toasted to a bubbling gold. But no matter how they fix swell-tasting Velveeta, they'll be mighty pleased with its grand, rich, yet mild cheddar cheese flavor. And you'll be pleased because Velveeta is good for the folks. You see, Velveeta is rich in important food values from milk. For instance, it helps supply protein for strong muscles, minerals that help build sound teeth and bones, vitamins needed for normal growth. And you know, Velveeta snacks are perfect anytime because this cheese food is as digestible as milk itself. So for snacks that provide Dad and the youngsters with wholesome good eating and provide you, Mother, with a little extra time, keep stocked with a 2-pound loaf of Velveeta. Just be sure you get the cheese food of top quality when you buy. Genuine Velveeta, made only by Kraft. Well, the great Gildersleeve didn't like the idea of his niece Marjorie going steady with Bronco Thompson. So he invited Marshall Bullard over to give Bronco a little competition. How's it working out? It isn't.
Isn't Marjorie having any dinner, Bertie?
No, sir. Have another hot biscuit, Leroy?
Yeah, I'll take those two that are stuck together. Gosh, imagine Marge not eating dinner for 2 nights.
Yeah, I don't know what to do about that girl.
No, sir.
I don't know how she does it. She must be sneaking crackers.
Yep. All right, Leroy, I'll handle this thing.
Maybe she's living on love.
Never mind. I did what I thought was best, Bertie. A girl owes it to herself to look around a little.
Yes, sir.
I didn't know Bronco would act this way. Run off like a scared jackrabbit the minute a Harvard boy in a Cadillac came around.
No, sir.
After all, I'm not the smartest man in the world, Bertie.
No, sir. Yep.
Where do you suppose Bronco disappeared to, Unc? You think he joined the Foreign Legion?
I doubt that, Leroy. The way he acted, I doubt if he has enough gumption to join anything.
Here she comes, Unc.
Yeah, Leroy, let's be tactful. Let's pretend we didn't even notice she wasn't here.
I get you.
Well, hello, my dear.
Hi.
Hello.
Sit down, Marjorie. Perhaps Leroy and I started a little early.
Yeah. We didn't even notice you weren't here.
Yeah. Tactful little fellow.
I might have a little dessert.
Dessert? Good. Take mine. I wasn't going to eat it anyway.
You in love too, Unc?
Leroy. Have a date tonight, Marjorie?
Yes.
Well, anybody we know?
Marshall Bullard.
Oh, Marshall again, eh?
Well, that's what you wanted, isn't it, Uncle Mort?
Well, no, it isn't, Marjorie.
Well, that's what you're going to get. You drove Bronco away, and now you're going to see Marshall Bullard around here until you're as sick of him as I am.
Marjorie!
Hey, maybe that's Bronco on the phone.
I know who it is. Hello? Oh, hello, Marshall.
Zeke.
Why, of course, Marshall. I'd love to. Come over any time. The sooner the better. Goodbye.
That settles it. I've got to get Bronco back in the parlor.
Good morning, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Well, Bronco, come on into my office.
I got your phone call, but I didn't want to come to your house. I thought it better if we met down here.
Yeah, good idea. Put your little packages on the desk and sit down, my boy.
Thank you, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Where have you been keeping yourself these evenings, Bronco?
I've been sitting in the park feeding the pigeons.
Well, don't you think you should be dropping by the house once in a while, my boy?
Oh, no, Mr. Gildersleeve. No, that's no place for me now.
Oh? Well, what would you say if I told you Marshall Bullard has been seeing Marjorie quite often?
Well, I'd say, lucky him.
But doesn't it make you a little jealous? Doesn't it make you want to put up a fight? Ask for a date, maybe?
Mr. Gildersleeve, I'm doing what I think is best for Marjorie.
Oh, brother, we're right back where we started.
Marshall has a lot more to offer Marjorie than I have. And all I'm interested in is her happiness.
Yes. By the way, you left all your record albums in the parlor. Don't you think you should drop by and pick them up? No use letting Marshall and Marjorie play Romeo and Juliet.
I'd like Marjorie to have my records. For auld lang syne.
For auld lang syne. I give up.
Goodbye, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Think it over, Bronco. Remember, faint heart ne'er won fair lady.
No, sir. But a Cadillac and a Harvard education can do it.
Oh, my goodness. Say, the boy left his packages here. Popcorn. Must be for the pigeons. What's this book? Life in a Monastery.
Anybody home?
Oh, come in, Judge.
Good morning, Gildy. Wasn't that Bronco I saw going down the hall?
Well, it could have been, Judge.
What are you reading, Gildy?
Well,
Life in a Monastery. Are you thinking of donning the cloth?
All right, Judge, put the book down. It belongs to Bronco.
Oh? Poor fellow. From what you've told me, the boy probably considers himself a martyr.
I suppose so. He's completely withdrawn from the field, and poor little Marjorie is just eating her heart out.
Too bad. Doesn't Bronco know how Marjorie feels about it?
How can he, Judge? He won't even come near her. I tried to make him jealous so he'd show Marjorie a little fight, but nothing happened. He just blinked his eyes and looked at me like a sick chicken.
Gildy, why didn't you come right out and tell Bronco that Marjorie prefers him to Marshall Boulevard?
Well,
Bronco's been belittling himself. But if he knew that Marjorie's happiness depended on him, he'd be over there in a jiffy.
Say, I believe he would at that.
Then you can leave everything up to Marjorie. A woman can't hide her true feelings, Gildy. I know.
Oh. By George, Horace, that's a prize-winning idea. I'm glad you thought of it.
Thank you, Gildy.
Yes, sir. And here's your prize, Judge.
Popcorn? For me?
No, the popcorn's for the pigeons. You get to eat the bag, you old goat.
Gildy!
I feel better already, Judge. You know, I'm certainly glad you see it my way at last, Bronco.
Well, Mr. Gildersleeve, all I've been thinking about is Marjorie's happiness. But if she isn't happy with Marshall around, then he shouldn't be around.
Yeah, that's the spirit, Bronco.
I'm the fellow who should be around.
You said it. Why, only this morning, Marjorie said she was sick of seeing Marshall.
Is that so?
Yeah. You'll see it with your own eyes when we get in the house. A woman can't hide her true feelings, you know.
Well, I don't know much about that. Marjorie's the only woman I know.
Hey, oh, yes. They'll be in the parlor. Let's go right in.
All right. I know three's a crowd, but if Marjorie doesn't like the fella, I feel like crowding somebody.
Yeah, that's the spirit.
Hello, Uncle Mort.
Good evening, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Well, hello, Marshall. Guess who's with me, Marjorie?
Hiya, Marge.
Well, I haven't seen you in quite a while, Mr. Bronco Thompson.
Not very enthusiastic.
Oh, I've been around. Hello, Bullard.
Well, hello.
Bronco's been pretty busy.
Oh?
Yeah. Nice to see Bronco again. We missed him, haven't we, Marjorie?
Have we?
Must be a window open someplace.
What have you been doing, Marge?
Oh, Marshall and I have been having a glorious time.
Oop.
Haven't we, Marshall?
Oh, yes, we've really been doing the town, as they say.
Marshall is so much fun.
He is?
Yeah, it's good to have Bronco around again. Of course, it's nice to see Marshall, too.
Marshall's been so sweet to me, so thoughtful.
That's fine.
What's she trying to do?
Marshall's a perfect dream on the dance floor, Bronco.
Well, guess I'll be going.
Oh, he's collapsed again. Now, wait a minute, Bronco.
Yes, don't run away, old man.
I have things to do. Good night, Marjorie. I hope you'll be very happy.
Jellyfish.
Well, I'll be running along too, Bronco. Just stop in for a minute.
Don't leave on my account.
Oh, no, I was just telling Marjorie I have another date tonight.
You have another date?
Why, of course.
When you're going with a girl as sweet as Marjorie, you have the nerve to go out with another girl?
Why not?
Oh, you cad!
That did it. There he goes.
Marshall Bullard, you're a cad and a bounder.
Oh, Bronco.
Stand aside, girl. Bullard, come outside and defend yourself.
Wait a minute, I'm leaving.
You bet you're leaving.
Now, fellas. Now, hold on, Bronco. Run, Bullard.
Come back, you soldier.
Bronco, stop.
Run, Bullard, run. He made it to his front door just in the nick of time.
Oh, Unky, isn't Bronco wonderful?
Yeah, and Marshall's a bounder, all right. Did you see how he cleared that hedge?
We'll hear from the great Gildersleeve again very shortly. Lady, if all the menu planning talk you hear about making use of leftovers leaves you a little skeptical, here's an idea that's bound to make you a believer. It's the glorious golden cheese sauce you can make the easy way with Kraft smooth-melting cheese food Velveeta. With this Velveeta sauce, you can positively transform fish or ham or chicken or veal into a main dish that makes a really triumphant second appearance. You see, Velveeta has such a wonderful, rich, yet mild cheddar cheese flavor. And Velveeta has a lot of fine nourishment, too, the kind you expect from a main dish. To make this easy sauce, just melt 1/2 pound of Velveeta in the top of your double boiler. Stir in 1/4 cup of milk and season. Glamorize your leftovers with this golden good sauce of wholesome Velveeta real soon. Get a 2-pound loaf tomorrow, so you'll have plenty for both cooking and snacks. Get genuine Velveeta, the cheese food of Kraft quality.
I think there's somebody at the door, Marjorie. Probably Bronco.
Oh, I'll let him in, Unky.
Well, here we go again. Back to the dining room.
Leroy?
Hello, Marge.
Hello, Bronco.
Romeo and Juliet.
Good evening, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Well, hello, Bronco.
I stopped in at the telegraph office on my way over, and I brought some news for you.
News? Oh, what is it?
They got the winning title for your song. It's Tug of My Heart.
Tug of My Heart? Well, good. Thank you, Bronco. Come on, Leroy.
Well, Unky, you don't have to go in the dining room.
No, you don't have to, Mr. Gildersleeve.
Well, you know what they say. Two's company.
Three's a crowd.
And four is a... Well, good night, little children.
The Great Gildersleeve is played by Harold Perry. The show was written by Paul West, John Elliott, and Andy White, with music by Jack Meekin. Included in the cast are Walter Tetley, Mary Lee Robb, Lillian Randolph, Earl Ross, Dick LeGrand, Vic Crenna, and Gil Stratton. This is Jay Stewart saying goodnight for the Kraft Foods Company, makers of the famous line of Kraft quality food products.
Good night for me, too.
Be sure to listen in next Wednesday and every Wednesday for the further adventures of The Great Gildersleeve.
Ladies, Pabst Step, the delicious cheddar cheese food, is offering you a knife of 100 uses, the Super Slicer.
It tears faster, slices cleaner, removes olives and cherries from bottles in a jiffy. It's the handiest kitchen knife in years. And you can get this knife for only 25 cents and the top label of a round package of delicious Pabstet cheese food or the red arrow from the top of a 2-pound Pabstet loaf. Send your Pabstet label and your quarter tonight to Phoenix Pabstet, Box 5239, Chicago 77, Illinois. Please print your return address.
Break the Bank, radio's biggest money-paying show, is next on NBC.
December 7, 1949, The Great Gildersleeve. Hope you enjoyed our comedic look at early, early days before Christmas here on Michael Saturday's Surprise. Join you again probably early next year on Michael Saturday's Surprise.